Good afternoon, everyone. I will be presenting a genetic association study, which is looking at the relationship between the serotonin genetic polymorphisms and its association with neurocognitive impairment in HIV alcohol abusers. And my study is a nested study from the parent study. The parent study is a randomized controlled trial that looked at the efficacy of the HHRP intervention program, Adaptive Holistic Health Recovery Program, in decreasing sexual transmission risk behaviors, alcohol use, and increasing psychosocial health and healthcare utilization. So for the main study, there was a consent form that everyone signed. For the genetic study, there was a secondary concern form. So my study comes from that secondary consent form. And I will go with giving you a brief overview on the background and significance. Then I will move into the reason of the genes and that we chose for this study and its relation with serotonin. We'll go into the other measures that we used for this study, as well as showing, presenting the results, the conclusion, and some of the limitations and implications for public health. So I have no relationships to disclose. Antiretroviral therapy has drastically improved HIV in survival rates in the last decades. However, HIV-associated neurocognitive disorders, or HAND, remains highly prevalent and continues to represent a significant public health problem. HIV-associated neurocognitive disorders include deficient memory and attention, decreased executive function, and behavioral changes such as apathy and lethargy. Executive function, quickly, I will define it a little later in the slides, is related to complex behaviors such as abstract thinking. So far, there are no causes for HAND, and so there has been suggested that, for instance, the variability and the penetration of antiretroviral medication across the blood-brain barrier may increase neurocognitive impairment. Others have suggested that co-infection with hepatitis C, drug use, genetic factors, as well as aging may act as moderators for cognitive impairment. Currently, demographic characteristics, comorbidities, and lifestyle behaviors, such as drug use, are used to determine who may be at risk for HAND. And so we believe that the role of genetics into HIV disease progression should also be evaluated. So cognitive impairment is highly heritable, and individual differences in executive function and memory are strongly driven by genetic variations. There is a lot of evidence that suggests that cognition increases linearly from childhood into adulthood by genetic modulation of environmental influences to cognitive functioning. So therefore, there are several studies that have shown associations between serotonin polymorphisms with sustained attention, memory, and executive function. Serotonin is also involved in the modulation of executive function by co-adjusting neurotransmission in the prefrontal cortex. The prefrontal cortex is located in the frontal lobes, so it's located in this area, and plays a high role in high order executive tasks such as executive function. So it's under the umbrella of executive function. So some examples are learning, memory, categorization, inhibition control, and cognitive flexibility. So we believe, for instance, genetically determined polymorphisms in an individual such as who has already impaired cognition, such as an HIV-infected adult, may amplify differences in cognitive measures. So cognition is the ability to select, classify, and integrate information. So in a sense, cognition is what dictates behavior, whereas executive function coordinates complex behaviors such as planning and decision making, and as I mentioned before, is located is under the umbrella of the prefrontal cortex. Now, literature has shown that executive dysfunction or impaired executive function is the most common and most likely to affect behavior in HIV-infected adults. So our hypothesis is serotonin-related polymorphisms are associated with impaired executive function and memory in HIV-infected alcoholic abusers. Now I will talk about these genes that we decided that we chose for the study and its relationship with serotonin. So the serotonin neurotransmitter has been implicated in the pathophysiology of behavioral, psychological, and psychiatric disorders. So low serotonin in the brain are associated with impulsivity, aggressiveness, alcohol use, as well as risky behaviors. Serotonin has also interacts with cortical networks to modulate the expression of a specific cognitive function, such as executive functioning. And so one of the genes that we chose that was related to cognitive function is the SLC6A4 gene, which encodes serotonin transporter, which affects serotonergic neurotransmission. So the polymorphism that we looked at is the 5-HT-TLPR in this gene, and which may influence memory regulations, decision making, and response inhibition capabilities. Another gene that we thought it was quite interesting is the TPH2, because it encodes the rate-limiting enzyme of serotonin synthesis. So there's evidence of this gene playing a role in cognition from studies in ADHD and obsessive-compulsive disorders. So the single nucleotide polymorphism, SNP RS4570625, or just simply 0625, may lead to worse executive control. Now, on a side note, a single nucleotide polymorphism is, we all know what a DNA is, a double helix. So the DNA has four nucleotides, so A, T, C, and G. So the single nucleotide polymorphism change is the single nucleotide change in the base pair. So instead of, let's say, going from A to T, it will go from A to G. So that G will be the single nucleotide polymorphism change that occurs usually in less than 10% of the population. And there are some that are functional and some that are non-functional. So the ones that we're looking at are functional because it shows a result. It's shown in the phenotype in the disorder. In this case, will be impairment. So another gene that we looked at is the GALM gene, which was recently found in a genome-wide association study to be associated between the thalamus and the GALM gene, specifically the SNP RS 6741892, or just 1892. And just GALM gene is very interesting because it's the one that sort of controls the release in the serotonin release in the brain. So the reports, the measures that we use besides the genetic measures are the audit score and the timeline follow back, which I will go into a little bit into detail in the next slides. The neurocognitive measures that we use to measure impairment were color trails A and B, auditory verbal learning test, and the category test. So alcohol use disorder identification test, or the audit score, measures alcohol use pattern, and it asks questions such as alcohol use, alcohol dependency, and also social and personal harm. So it asks questions such as, have you or someone else been injured as a result of your drinking? And it has the scores are based on 0 to 7, which is equal to low risk of alcohol-related harm, 8 to 10 is high risk, 11 to 12 is harmful drinking, and 20 plus is possibly alcohol dependent. So it does not measure alcohol dependency. The timeline follow-back format, it measures daily alcohol use, and it uses a calendar format as is shown in the slide. And it helps, there are several aids that help to recall the alcohol use, the daily alcohol use in the last 33 months or 90 days. So what we use to measure neurocognitive impairment, the first one was color trails forms A and B. Color trails form A measures sustained attention. Color transform B measures cognitive flexibility. And you can see in this picture, you have color circle numbers. So to measure sustained attention, the person needed to go from 1 through 25 as fast as possible, regardless of the color, but it needed to connect the dots. And so the less time, the better the sustained attention. To measure cognitive flexibility, on the other hand, we use the same format, but in this case, they had to alternate. If you look at the color circle numbers, it was pink to yellow, so they had to alternate from pink to yellow, from yellow to pink, and that measures cognitive flexibility. It's sort of the availability to shift. The next one is the short category test, which measure executive function. Executive function, as I mentioned before, it relates to complex behavior. So this test was based on 5 subtests. Each subtest contained 20 cards. This is a picture of one of the cards, and as you can see, it sort of looks very complex. For instance, in this one, it was measuring abstract thinking. So the higher the number of errors, then the worse the executive functioning. The auditory verbal learning test measured learning, and you have list A, where there were 15 nouns. They were said out loud, so there were 5 recall trials to remember those names from list A. Then list B came in as an interference list. So then what we measured was immediately after, we measured list A immediately after, and then 20 minutes later, again, list A. So those were, and then the serotonin polymorphism characteristics, these are some of the characteristics that I wanted to present. For instance, the gene GALM is on chromosome 2 and is the type of SNP that it was, which is a Mincen SNP. And another gene, the TPH2, is on chromosome 12. The same thing with the polymorphism, the 5-HT-TLPR. And on your left, you have a picture of what we use, the methods that we use. So we use the polymerase chain reaction. One of them was real time, which is the one that shows the little lines, and the other one was the conventional, which you had to sort of like take a picture after you run through the agarose gel. And so the methods that we use, we first standardize the cognitive measures for the study, and to explore this association, we use logistic regression analysis, and we also stratify it by sex and ethnicity. And so looking at the baseline characteristics, as I mentioned before, since we had non-participants because they declined to sign the informed consent, we compare both the participants and non-participants, and pretty much there's no difference. For the participants in our study, the age was around 45 years old. Most of them were male. Most of them finished, 190 of them, or 69%, finished high school diploma. 76% were African American. Alcohol use in the last 90 days was about 190. The lifetime of alcohol use was about 24 years, and the audit score was 16, which was sort of harmful drinking. They were also measured to see if they use other drugs, and other drugs that they use as well were cocaine and marijuana. And some of the HIV characteristics, the CD4 count was on average 441, and 48% measure undetectable viral loads. The cognitive measures were pretty much the same for both groups. So the results show that there was a significant association between the GALM gene and the TPH gene with cognitive impairment. Specifically, the 0625 SNP was associated with impaired executive function, shown by the dominant model at 2.5, with an odds ratio of 2.5. The risk was higher if male, and even higher if African American male. Same for the SNP 1892, was significantly associated with memory. Again, the odds ratio for the dominant model was 1.9. The risk increased if male, and again increased much more if it was African American male. So in conclusion, the SNP 0625 affects the transcription rate of the gene TPH2, which may increase the activity of prefrontal cortex. As I mentioned before, TPH2 is the rate-limiting step enzyme, so the one that controls the making of this of serotonin, and prefrontal cortex is the one that is under the umbrella of executive function. So therefore, we can say that executive dysfunction affects behaviors including adherence to antiretroviral medication and ability to hold a job in HIV-infected adults. We also show that the SNP 1892 is a functional polymorphism of the gene GALM, which has not been presented before because since it was recently found in a GWAS study, so this was something novel. Then the current study was also the first to explore the relationship between serotonin-related polymorphisms and neurocognitive impairment in a sample of HIV-infected alcohol abusers. And we confirmed that our results with other genetic studies, which are pointing that genetic influences on executive functioning and memory. So limitations very quickly. The first one was the lack of level correction due to the multiple comparisons that we made, and this was due because it was an exploratory study and its essence. And the second, since most polymorphisms have relatively small effect on cognition, future studies should have other genes also included, besides the ones that we looked at, other genes included into their studies. So bottom line, so what's the take-home message here? With the implications, we can say that we have demonstrated that there's specific polymorphisms in the serotonin systems that are a risk factor for HAND, HIV-associated neurocognitive impairment, and these results may be an initial step to develop a genetic marker for HAND in the future. That's it. Sorry I went so fast, but I needed to be under under the 15 minutes.
Any questions?
It's far more and beyond. Yes. Yeah. It's if we adjust for of adjust aging, adjust education, we adjust sex, we adjusted four different things. It's beyond that as well. The thing is that HAND, and I didn't give the criteria, but HAND involves HIV-associated neurocognitive impairment is divided into a symptomatic neurocognitive impairment with there has to be at least in two of the factors of the measures, neurocognitive measures, on, and then a one standard deviation below the mean. Then we have the symptomatic cognitive impairment, which needs to be again in two of the cognitive measures, but two standard deviations below the mean. And then the HIV dementia, which there needs to be again the same, but followed by dysfunctional daily activities. So what we were looking at was a symptomatic neurocognitive impairment.
I said a safe report.